Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio, Heart Health Radio, oh, 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 hearthealthradio.com, Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network, now 100% Fauci-free. We're just not going to talk about him?
Yeah, we had something, but we're Fauci-free today.
There was an article, but we decided to flip it over and write on the back.
No, we're not doing it.
We're not doing it. We are going to talk about the Delta variant briefly. We got to talk numbers. Yeah. Sorry.
I want people to know that if you're vaccinated, you're going to be just fine.
Okay. Steve Irwin. He died in 2006, and there's been an explanation from a doctor about, you know, really what happened.
Yeah, I knew that from the first, right. From the get-go.
See, I heard, well, never mind. I heard that it was just, he had venom in him.
It's not venom.
It's not venom.
No.
All right. We're going to talk about something called deadly spider venom, which is funny because I saw them open up for Pink Floyd. Deadly spider venom. They were sort of an alt rock group.
God,
anyway,
Pink Floyd. Did you listen to that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
you were like a heavy metalhead.
No, it was. I listened to the sort of dreamy Genesis sounding stuff.
Lord,
yeah.
Mercy. I was Billy Joel all the way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dog ownership adds years to your life.
Yeah,
you've got a story.
Yeah,
with
today's
that.
A sad day for me. If you notice there when you're listening that I'm not peppy and happy, although you know the music that starts off, it makes you happy, doesn't
sure, it?
Sure,
it does.
Anyway,
yeah.
I have to give up my dogs today, and today I'm taking them out of my apartment, and I'm going to give them a home on a farm with 15 acres and a pond.
Wow.
And the reason is not because I want to. It's just because I have to. And what's happened now with big dogs, and my dogs are big.
Yeah, your dogs are
Lebowski
bears.
Lebowski is a black Newfoundland, and he's 180 pounds.
180.
And I have Walter, who's a brown and white Newfoundland. He's 150 pounds. They have different personalities. But Lebowski, when he was a puppy, used to get attacked. Because he was a big puppy.
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah.
And he used to take it, and they started fighting back. And so one of the main reasons is they're too strong for me. I walked them together. I don't know if I told you this story.
No.
And when I have them tight in the leash, you know, they're okay. Well, I slipped on a little hill overlooking a pond.
Oh, no.
And there was a family of ducks in the pond.
Oh, yeah.
And they took off down the hill.
Yes.
And I had the leash around my arm or my hand, and they dragged me into the water, and I was like being towed like a water skier.
Yes.
And the ducks took off, and they stopped chasing them, and you know, it was just awful. And then another time, they were together, and they saw a lovely little dog, and they wanted to go play with it, and they just took off.
Yeah.
And so I sat down thinking I could hold him. That's 300 pounds a dog.
Yeah.
They pulled me across the sidewalk. So one of the things I'm realizing is that, you know, they're too big for where I live.
Yeah.
And then the other day, a pit bull, they now have four pit bulls in my apartment. And we came around a corner, and the pit bull went nuts. And this is Lebowski, and lunged at his neck. Now, I'm going to tell you, you may think pit bulls are the supreme predators for dogs.
Yeah.
Never get a Newfoundland mad at you.
Really?
Yeah. They love humans. They'll never, ever hurt a human. They were bred to rescue drowning sailors. That's why they're so big, so they could jump in the water. They were bred to fall in love with strangers. Why? Because why would you jump in ice cold, you know, ocean water to save a drowning soul. Well, they do.
Right.
But they'll fight back if another dog attacks them. I thought Lebowski was going to kill this dog.
And Lebowski has the ability to do so.
Well, and, you know, Walter wouldn't. Walter's got a different personality. He just lay down, and he would get killed. But Lebowski fights back. And so I realized that they need, you know, a normal Newfoundland home, which is to roam, you know, free and swim. So the good news, it's a friend of mine, and I'll be able to visit.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm kind of worried. What if they forget about me? You know, what if they don't know me when I go to see them?
They will.
You think?
I guarantee it. Come back a month from now and tell me a story, because they will go nuts to see you.
All right. Well, the reason why I'm talking about this from a medical point of view is that, do you know what the science says about dogs making you live longer? On average, it's 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. And the reason, number one, the relaxation that you have around a loving dog reduces your stress hormone cortisol.
Okay.
And then the other thing that it does is increase a hormone called oxytocin. Now, how do you know? Well, they do it. They take people without dogs, give them a stressful event, and they measure these hormones. And then they take people who have dogs with them. You've had a stressful event, and the hormones for oxytocin are high, so they're happier. And for the cortisol is lower, so they have less stress. Well, I've also thought, remember we talked about on the show that dogs can sniff out cancer.
Yes.
So that might be one reason that they, you know, make you live longer, you know. If you could speak dog, they'd say, hey, buddy, you better go get checked out. I smell some cancer.
Is a good night's sleep an important part of a healthy attitude?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because my dogs actually prevent that. I have a narrow strip 24 inches wide that I'm allowed to sleep in.
Because the dog, though.
Because the dogs sleep on the rest of the
bed. What size bed do you have?
King size bed.
Then you need a California king.
We can't. Yeah, I know. I know. We get a California king.
Why do Californians have to have bigger beds? Tell me that.
Because they can.
Okay.
That's the only reason. They're not taller than the rest of us.
I guess.
All right. Steve Irwin died in 2006.
The listeners watch TV and they watch movies. And what happens when somebody gets a knife in the chest? Okay. The first thing when the rescuers get there, the first responders, I want to use that term, it's a great term, is they pull the knife out on TV.
Uh-huh.
If you're, and I God hope you're not, impaled with something,
right.
A knife, you know, that people get impaled with tree limbs.
Right.
And you trip and you can get impaled on a fence.
Oh, gosh.
Okay?
Yes.
So what do you do? You don't do what's on TV. You leave it in, okay? And I know it sounds just frightening to look down and there's a knife in your chest. Why do you leave it in? It's called, it tamponades or holds down the blood vessels so they don't bleed as much. Now, they're going to bleed.
Yeah.
But the reason why people die when you pull out a knife is because the bleeding now becomes greater. Now, if you're stuck in the chest and you pull it out, then the lung collapses and you get what's called a tension pneumothorax, where the air builds up in the space between the collapsed lung and the chest wall, and it builds up pressure and it cuts off the blood flow to the heart and you can die. Now, Steve Irwin was doing his thing. Was he snorkeling or scuba diving? I think he was scuba diving because he's a man.
And we should explain
for
folks who have forgotten. Steve Irwin was a naturalist. He had a TV show they called The Crocodile Hunter, but he didn't hunt crocodiles.
Yeah, he did for a while.
Hunt?
Well, you know,
hunt
he didn't
and
hunt
kill?
To kill them.
No.
He hunted to hug him and kiss him.
He had him in enclosures, and he would feed them chicken. And it was, it was his thing to be in a dangerous situation,
right.
But
and come
face
out, and
it
come
anyway.
Out, you know, smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was doing his underwater swimming thing.
Yeah.
And he went over a stingray.
Yes.
And what is a stingray? A stingray has a stinger on the end. And so a lot of people, so he's swimming over it, and it raises its stinger and impales him into his chest and into his heart. And everybody thought it was death instantly, but it wasn't. The stingray doesn't have poison. Okay, it's a barbed ray, so it looks like a bunch of arrowheads strung together on a stick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the video showed him stopping and looking around and then looking down, so yes. It wasn't instant death.
Yes.
He died because he pulled it out. Now, I'm not saying that it's his fault, because I think you watch TV and the immediate reaction is to pull out something that's impaled you. And so what happened when he pulled it out? So there are barbs on the end of these things, and he pulled it out, and it was in his heart. So it made the hole bigger in the heart. And not only that, the hole had been plugged by the stinger that was in there.
Right.
So there was nothing leaking around it. So when he pulled it out, he tore it, and the blood started pouring out. And it poured into the sac around the heart called the pericardium.
Yeah.
And what happens when that fills up with blood? You get what's called pericardial tamponade. Now, that sounds crazy, but remember I talked about tamponading the blood vessels when the knife is in there?
Yeah.
Well, when the pericardium, the sac around the heart, fills up with blood, it compresses the heart. And if the heart is compressed from the outside, blood can't flow into it. So, you know, this may sound crazy that I'm talking about this, but if you're impaled by a tree limb, car wrecks, often people are in the car impaled by something. Leave it in. And what will happen is the rescue people, if there's a, you know, I saw a guy got impaled on a fence.
Yes.
And it went all the way through his body because he broke the fence, but the post went through his body.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, what was the first thing the EMTs did? They didn't pull it out.
They cut the fence.
They cut the fence.
Good for them.
Put him on the stretcher and took him to the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to remove it, but they're going to remove it in the operating room so that they're all set and ready to go to close the blood vessels. So, I saw this article. We finally know. No, we didn't finally know why Steve Irwin died. We knew from the beginning. And the sad thing is that they had the video of him pulling it out.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, I kept saying, no! Leave it in.
Right.
Go to the surface.
Right.
You know, so it's sad. But the lesson is, hope to God you don't get impaled. But be it a knife, a fence post, or a rod or something like that, leave it in. Call 911.
All right. Very good. Deadly spider venom.
Yeah.
The Delta variant. Pharmaceutical companies. This is all coming up in the next couple of minutes. This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. Get better, stay healthy, and spot medical misinformation by listening to Heart Health Radio with Dr. Franklin Weifold, an actual doctor. Went to medical school. Which one?
You know that.
Princeton?
Princeton doesn't have a medical school.
It doesn't have a medical school.
No, it is graduate school, see, physics and, you know, sociology, and then undergrad.
Yeah.
And I graduated there in 1981. Then I went to Johns Hopkins.
Oh, you're right. Princeton.
Yeah.
It's
Johns
funny
Hopkins.
I think of Johns Hopkins Medical Center.
Yeah.
And it overshadows my memory of the school.
Well, the school started first.
Right.
Oh, actually, no, the hospital was about a month later. Famous. You know why? Because it was the first place to approach medicine from a scientific point of view.
Yeah.
They hired this guy, William Osler, from Canada. And Osler's probably the most famous physician because he was the consummate clinician, and people just flocked to him because he was such a great diagnostician. Now, remember one thing.
Yeah.
Couldn't do much back then. You know, they didn't have all these fancy technologies. But back then, knowing what was wrong with you was a good thing, and he could figure it out. Then he went to Oxford.
All right.
You know why?
I don't know why.
His son got killed in World War One.
Yeah?
No, sorry, son. Anyway, so people want to know this.
Well, I mean, people want you to know that you have, you know, you've got the credentials.
Oh, yeah.
I should brag about my college, Oswego State in New York State.
It's ranked number
Oswego.
Ranked number two.
Ranked number two and number one. I don't know what that means, but they're ranked highly among colleges in snowy parts of the country.
Absolutely.
Oswego State has a great hockey team. And, all right, pharmaceutical companies, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, this was a shameful thing, and it is a shameful thing. You know, in the United States of America, let's give a – I'm not going to – let's say drug B costs $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
In Canada, it's $10 a month. In England, it's $3 a month. In France, they give it away for free.
Why are we paying so much?
Because, well, they claim that it's because of the research that goes into making the drug. And it's true. The average pill now costs $1 billion to get it through the FDA approval because of all the things you got to do.
Okay.
And so, you know, they claim this. The reason why they charge so much is that Medicare is not allowed by law to negotiate prices. Blue Cross Blue Shield does. And I don't know if you know this. If you go to a doctor's office and you want medicine B, which is very expensive, they'll give you a card that gets you it for $10 copay.
Yeah.
And the reason they can do that is because there's a system of rebates where the insurance companies will get money back from the price they pay to the drug companies. Anyway, what I found out, the reason why they charge so much is not the research. Okay, they spend more money, the drug companies, on what they call stock buybacks. Now, what is a stock buyback? It's when the company purchases their own stock from people out there in the public that have it. Now, why do they do that? Because if you have 100 shares,
right,
you have a certain price, say $2 a share. What happens if you buy 40 shares and take them out of circulation? You only have 60 shares, so the price goes up.
Oh.
And so who owns a lot of stock? Yep. The directors, the board of directors, the president, the vice president. So what they're really doing is using that money and paying themselves. Mm. It's not a bonus. It's a hidden thing.
Yeah.
Because a bonus would go directly to them, and they'd have to say, as a public company, mm-hmm. we just paid Dr. X, who's the chairman of the board, you know, $10 million. When they buy back stock and the price goes up, which it does, then they don't have to say that Dr. X, who's chairman of the board, just made another $20 million on his stock holding. So the shameful thing is that they're not telling the truth.
Right.
They're not. They're saying that we spend all this money on research, but they're not saying we spend sometimes more on stock buybacks. So I'm just mad.
Yeah.
Look, don't get me wrong. The system we have in this country of profit motive brings us amazing medicines. Now, there are some that are developed overseas.
Yeah.
But if you look at all the great medicines that have come out and saved a lot of lives, they're U.S. medicines. So it's a double-edged sword, as we say. I hate that term because it, you know, it's used so often.
By the way, if you're ever impaled
with
a double-edged sword, please don't pull it out.
Yeah. So kudos to them for developing all these great drugs.
Yeah.
But come on.
Right.
You know, you guys make enough money. Use that money for more research.
Right.
That's my beef.
Let's open up the phone lines. 919-860-9783. Always call between noon and 2 on a Saturday. 919-860-9783. There's a doctor named Christopher Dunch. They've nicknamed him Dr. Death.
Yeah.
Was he incompetent or was he just bad?
First, he was incompetent.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But he was a very passionate guy.
Yeah.
He wanted to save lives.
Okay.
Well, then something happened to him, and he became a criminal. And he purposely botched surgeries to paralyze people and, in fact, even kill them. He wrote an email to his girlfriend saying, I no longer want to be the passionate, loving physician that I am. I want to become a cold-blooded killer.
Wow.
Now, the thing that bothers me is that people were
dying. Wait a
minute.
Shouldn't everything about this bother you?
Particularly.
Okay.
come on now. You caught me. Obviously, it bothers me. It breaks my heart.
Now, that's terrible. But
okay.
Wait a minute. There's this one thing.
No. Okay. There's this other thing is that he got passed from medical center to medical center.
Yes.
And even though patients were being maimed and dying,
yes,
he went from one place to the next and still did it. Now, finally, some of the operating nurses just had to blow the whistle.
Right, right.
And he not only was sued, you know, which is a what we call a civil action,
yeah,
what did but he was arrested.
Well, I hope
and
so.
They charged him with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
That's
and you know what the deadly weapon is? The scalpel. And attempted murder. And they couldn't get him on the ones that died because they claimed, you know, the lawyers claimed that they were sick anyway, blah, 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 blah. But he's now in prison. He will not be eligible for parole.
Yeah.
And I just think that, thank God, there are so few of these people.
Yes.
And usually, you know, you could tell if somebody is malevolent in medical school and before you even get into medical school. But if you are an operating room nurse,
yes,
you're one of the greatest people there are, be you know he or she,
mm-hmm.
turn these people in.
All right.
Just do it.
We've got just 2 minutes to talk about deadly spider venom.
Oh, man. Well, there's a spider, and it creates venom, and it kills you if it bites you.
Okay.
But they isolated one compound out of it, and I don't know why they even thought of this, okay?
Right.
But they isolated this compound, and it turns out it turns off a death signal. So when you have a heart attack or a stroke, mm-hmm. as those cells are dying, they excrete a protein that kills other cells next to it that wouldn't necessarily die because they're not affected by the lack of blood flow. So they give this compound from the spider venom,
yeah.
and it blocks the death protein. And they've proven that not as much brain is lost from a stroke and not as much heart tissue is lost. So it's not on the market yet, but this is another example of the good things that drug companies do. Now, this medicine is going to cost big time
oh, sure.
when it comes out. It's just like the Alzheimer's medicine that just came out. You know, the Cleveland Clinic's not even going to cover it.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
We will talk about that.
Yeah, but
wow, do we have a lot of shout-outs
yes.
for this show. We've
it's
got
going to
a
take
lot.
Up the next 20 minutes to shout out.
No. We're not. We're looking forward to phone calls. We're looking forward to have some interesting conversations. The secret trick to live forever, according to one website.
Well,
it's not secret. We've talked about it
yeah.
here.
No-no.
The no-no diet. And a 45-year-old man died after visiting the ER twice. We'll talk about that next.
Welcome to Heart Health with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefald. Call us with your health questions at 919-860-9783.
This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. I'm Dave Alexander. This is Dr. Franklin Weefald. And if you want to call us up, 919-860-9783 is our telephone number. Just dial us between noon and 2 on a Saturday. Your radio station may broadcast this show at a different time. There's a 45-year-old man who died after visiting the ER. Not once, but twice.
I'm looking at pictures of him. He looks like a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's got this little goatee. He dies green. He died green. He's a family man.
Yeah.
And he went to the ER complaining of chest pain.
Now, this was a British story. This
yeah.
Is,
uh-huh. Right. They call it A&E, accident and something. I don't know, A&E. That's not the ER. It's called A&E.
Right.
And the doctors made, I think, obviously a fatal mistake. In the ER with chest pain, unless it is, you know, obviously a heart attack, the EKG changes,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to get a definitive diagnosis of what the chest discomfort is coming from. It could be a pneumonia. It could be a strained muscle. It could be acid reflux.
Yeah.
But we all know, especially women, have symptoms that sometimes can be different, just fatigue and atypical, you know, sharp chest discomfort.
Right.
And so they told him he pulled a muscle. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. So he goes home, and he gets it again. And he goes back in, and they say, what are you doing here? You pulled a muscle. So he is at home, and he gets this pain, and he drops dead. And the autopsy showed he was having a heart attack. Now, the one thing I learned when I did ERs for 10 years, because back then you could moonlight. So if you were a fellow and needed some extra cash, you could work a night shift in the ER and do pretty well. And one of the things I learned doing that, but also being an attending cardiologist going down to the ER to evaluate people, is you don't tell somebody that you know for sure why their chest pain, what their chest pain is. So now in the United States, you know what they have? Chest pain centers. Okay? So they even certify them as certified chest pain centers. So Wake Med has one.
Yes.
Rex has one. And the whole point is that since you can't definitively tell, unless they're clearly having a heart attack, you watch them.
Yeah.
And then you do the testing you need to do to find out and make sure that it's not going to be a fatal heart attack in the next few days. And you'd be surprised at the number of times people come in with atypical symptoms. And a lot of times the reason why they say atypical symptoms is because they're not in touch with their bodies. They really can't describe what's going on. So in the US of A, they're not going to dump you on the street and tell you have a pulled muscle when they're not sure. And so, you know, there are hospitals that have chest pain centers, and we have them in our area, and they're great. So don't diagnose yourself and what your chest pain is. Go see somebody, because it could be something that is totally preventable in terms of a bad outcome.
If this fella had been in an ICU with the monitors on and he had the last cardiac event,
they would have saved him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because what happens when you drop dead, it's because of something called ventricular fibrillation. So the electricity goes nuts because there's no blood flow to the heart muscle, and it starts to die, and it discharges electrical current. And so that's when you can put the paddles on. Now we have patches.
Sure.
Sticky patches. You put the paddles on and blast away with 240 volts of electricity, and it just sort of eliminates the bad and allows the good to come back. So it's called defibrillation.
And you know what he died of.
Yeah.
And what he died of was
a heart attack.
Fixable.
Yes. I mean, he had a blockage. They did an autopsy.
Right.
And so don't let someone tell you they know what your chest pain is from.
You told me something about the ER.
What about?
The ER doctor says, no, I don't see any problem with your heart.
But
you ask for whom in the hospital? You ask for
a cardiologist.
A cardiologist.
Yeah. And get stress tested. They even now do CT scans. You can do a CT scan and find out if you have a blockage.
You read the jacket. Read the white jacket. And if it doesn't say cardiologist, don't leave. Don't leave the ER.
Or if you're doing well.
Yeah.
Don't leave without a referral in the next day or so to a cardiologist.
Carl in Durham, welcome to Heart Health Radio. How you doing, Carl?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Terrific. What's going on?
So I have a question for Dr. Leopold.
Sure.
Information question. So I've needed a knee replacement now for several years. I actually had it scheduled in, I think it was December of 19, and they shut all electives down at 2.
All right, Carl, we're having a hard time hearing you. Speak up as well as you can and tell me it's a knee replacement that you need, right?
Yeah, and it was scheduled in December of 19, and of course they weren't doing electives at Duke.
Yeah.
And then it was rescheduled for this past winter, I think in January, and because of my age and just general condition, the physician who's we'll do the knee replacement. I'm sure you know who it is. But at any rate, he said, with my age, I'd have to stay overnight. And at that point, they were still having some active COVID cases, so he recommended I not do it then. But the reason I'm calling is the pain is, really bad in the knee, and I'm barely walking on it. And a friend of mine went to the pain clinic at Duke, and there's a physician there, and I'm looking at his name, but I won't say it, but he's an anesthesiologist, an interventional spine specialist, and a pain medicine specialist.
Yeah.
And our friend went for a different reason other than the knee, but he does orthotics for shoes and been involved with medicine for a long time. But at any rate, he was talking to this guy, and this guy was talking. He said one of the newer things they're doing is for people who have severe knee pain, either before or after after knee replacement, that they do something called nerve ablation. And
sure.
They do a couple of tests, and they go in, and then as I understand it, they just simply kill the nerve that's causing the pain.
That's correct.
I'm curious if you've heard of that or if that would work or...
All right, describe.
Yeah.
It's nerve ablation.
Ablation. So what does ablation mean? Ablation means they use either real cold things or real hot things to destroy the nerve that is transmitting the pain sensation up the spinal cord into your brain. Now, here's the thing. Yes, they could get rid of your knee pain by doing a selective ablation. A lot of times when people have, you know, sciatica, that back pain that radiates down the leg, and they can't get the nerve free of the pressure, they'll find the nerve and mm-hmm. ablate it, and the pain will go away.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with the knee, is that the knee has to support the weight of your body, at least half of it. And when you're running, it supports sure. all of it for half the time. And if it's degrading... Okay, so the gristle, you know, that you pop open a chicken bone and you can see that white stuff covering
totally
the bone.
I totally know what you mean.
Right. If it's being destroyed, pretty soon you're going to have bone on bone. I love that. Doc says I got...
I already have that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So here's the problem. You may not have pain, but when the bone is rubbing against the bone, it destroys it.
Yeah.
So you may not feel the pain, and then eventually you may wind up not being fixable because all the bone's destroyed.
Yeah.
So the other thing, though, is that before you get bone on bone, there are a lot of new procedures now that are coming out that they inject stuff into the knee space, and it helps to rebuild some of the tissue so it's not degrading as fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the answer is yes, they can get rid of your pain. But the question you have to present to a really good orthopedist is, what's the danger of me continuing to walk on this situation in terms of becoming disabled? I almost said the C word, and you're not allowed to say that anymore. And
no, you can say crippled.
Oh, you know, you're smart. You must be reading my mind. But so that's the thing. Yes, that you can find somebody who's really good, and they'll deaden that nerve with either cryo, which is real cold, or mm-hmm. they'll use a Bovi, which is an electric thing that creates heat.
Sir, but, correct. Once that nerve is ablated, that's yeah. the end of that nerve. It'll never
right.
regenerate.
Right. But they got to get the right one, you know.
Oh, gosh.
You know, you'll come out of it. I can't feel my toe, but I can feel my knee.
Oh, my.
I'm joking. These guys are really good at what they do. But, okay. you know, it's a... I hate to use a Band-Aid fix. It's a pain fix, but it doesn't prevent the damage from continuing to your knee.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does, and I appreciate that answer. And I may try to contact this guy and go see
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
yeah. He'll probably tell me the same stuff, yeah. but I just wanted to get your impression of it. Thank you very much.
Let me ask you another question. Have you gotten a second opinion about your knee yet?
Yeah, but the person who will be doing it is kind of a star with knees to do. I think you might know. I mean, he's done Krzyzewski, and he's done Mac Brown.
Uh-huh.
He is excellent, and I've been going to him for years. And
yeah.
What I've been doing, you know, about every 3-4 months is getting a steroid injection in my knee,
okay.
which helps for a period of time, but the more you get, the less effective it is. So,
all right. Well, listen, good luck to you. Once you've decided what to do and what you're going to do, call us back. I want to hear what happens.
All right, great.
Thank you, Carl.
I enjoy the show.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate you enjoying the show. Tell your friends about us.
Absolutely.
Telephone number 919-860-9783. Lines are always open between noon and 2 on a Saturday. Monkeypox was in the news.
Sounds bad, doesn't it?
It sounds like I'm going to have to worry about my pet monkey.
No.
No, I don't.
I don't know. Actually, I don't even know why they call it monkeypox, but it's like smallpox.
Yes.
And it creates these nasty red, you know, buboes all over your body.
And it's
and it
here.
Can kill you like smallpox can.
And it is here.
But I don't want people to worry. There are some people who came from Lagos, Nigeria to Atlanta. This is the 8th of July. And then some of them went on to Dallas, and they got monkeypox. Now, smallpox vaccines don't really protect us. So if you have a swollen lymph node and you have a widespread rash on your face and body with little blisters on the end of them, please go to the hospital.
I know what you're going to tell.
And please avoid other people.
All right.
It's just coming. But I don't want you to worry about it. If you see, that this has happened, do not worry. It's not going to spread all over
the place. All right. So far on the show, we learned two very important things, and I can sum it up just like this. So you don't have to go backwards on the podcast and listen to the whole thing. Two things. If you're stabbed with an object.
Impaled.
Impaled with an
object. I love that word. I hate that word, but I love that word.
Don't pull it out.
Don't pull it out.
And if you've got a blistering rash, see your doctor.
Quick.
Always ask your doctor pulling the knife out.
If you've been exposed to somebody from Lagos, Nigeria.
Right.
Okay? Yeah.
Go ahead. Telephone number 919-860-9783. Lots of people to shout out. We'll talk with John in Raleigh next on Heart Health Radio.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and down.
Here at Heart Health Radio, we try to find people who are doing extraordinary things, and we found like five. There's a guy whose name is the most baseball name you're ever going to hear, Drew Robinson.
Yeah. Drew had depression and really serious depression, and he attempted suicide. He blew out his eye.
Oh, my.
He survived, got better, which you can do. Depression is a serious medical illness. It's not because you're a bad person. He got better, and he went back and played baseball with one eye.
Hard to do.
He hit three home runs, was 11 for 80, and then he decided to retire. And we're not sure why, but I just want to say Mr. Robinson, which I would call him Mr. Robinson, you are a tremendous human being. We shout you out because you're one of God's creatures who got better. And if you're out there depressed, okay, get some help.
Right.
It works.
Right.
And I just love that story.
Tim Costum.
Tim is a patient of mine who I think 10 or 12 years ago felt really sharp pain, radiated into his back, and thank God he went to the doctor. He had what's called an aortic dissection, which is, if untreated, uniformly fatal. The aorta is the pipe that comes out of the heart and carries blood to the rest of your body.
Yeah.
It has an inner lining called the endothelium. When that tears due to either high blood pressure or genetic defect, the tear goes up. And what's on top of the blood vessels to the brain, etc. He got fixed.
Yeah.
And he's doing great.
Good.
And I just wanted to say, shout out to you. You're a great human being. And every time I see you, I just say how great it is we've had these surgical techniques.
Who is Cullen Morris?
Helen is one of my favorite people.
Helen. Oh, I apologize.
That's okay. It sounded like Helen. Helen just had bypass surgery. She is a longstanding patient of mine. She believes in natural remedies, which I believe in the ones that she believes in because, turmeric and kombucha, they've been shown to reduce inflammation, etc. She had a stent last year, and she took all her meds. Her cholesterol's under good control. Mm-hmm. She had another episode, came to the office. I sent her straight to the hospital. She wound up getting bypass surgery, then went to rehab, called me. She was in AFib, rapid heart beating, everything. She went back to the hospital, got that fixed.
Wow.
She's home. She called me on my cell phone yesterday and today, and I just wanted to shout you out, Helen. She's got a great family,
right?
And she's going to live a long time now to be with her kids and grandkids, and I just wanted to tell you, Helen, I'm proud of you.
Belinda O'Neill has been on this show.
Belinda, may have remembered, she had a stress test that was mildly positive. We were treating her medically, and she went to a wrestling match of her grandson, or maybe it's her nephew, I can't remember. And she started having chest pain, went to the hospital, was having a heart attack, got a stent. She did great for a month, and she's having chest discomfort again. So she's about to have another heart catheterization. I want to shout you out, Belinda. I'm hoping that she doesn't need another stent. And what's happened is some of the clots that are involved have lodged themselves downstream, and they're eventually going to dissolve. So that's what we're praying for. I told her to stay at home, put her feet up, watch TV, and listen to the show.
Of course. Eric Juarez is what, a med school student or graduate?
He just graduated. Now this is a all American story.
Right.
His parents were immigrants from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Originally illegal immigrants, but I don't know if you remember Compromise. President Reagan in the 80s gave amnesty. So they had five kids. Eric was one of them, and he talked about their work ethic inspiring him to be a great student. And he went to the military academy and decided, they went to Harvard.
Wow.
Then graduated from med school. Now, when he graduated, did he have like a party in his apartment to celebrate? No. You know what he did? He brought all his friends, all fellow graduates. They drove back to the farm.
Wow.
And they didn't honor themselves. They honored his parents. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And then you know what else he said?
What's that?
He said, this couldn't have happened in any other country. This is a great country, and he is a great American.
They went back to the place where his parents were.
Instead of having their party in Georgia, where he went to med school, they drove all the way across country, and they had a party honoring his mother and father. Who were still farm workers.
At the farm, the place, the farm.
Yeah, that he grew
mom
up.
Mom and dad picked whatever, picked fruit. All right, John in Raleigh, thank you for waiting. How you doing, John?
Very well. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Good. What can I do for you? Nothing.
Well,
what can the doctor do for you?
Remarkable medical treatment.
Yes.
My son, David, David Logan is now 34 years old.
Yes.
Probably more than 10 years ago, he was training to be a Navy SEAL, and somewhat surprisingly, upon taking his first physical standards test, he was offered a SEAL contract the next day.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing.
And
he went to boot camp. He was injured his hip.
Oh, no.
Eventually had to be discharged. He started training more, trying to get better, trying to get into some other form of special op. And eventually his hip pain got so bad that an orthopedic surgeon in Raleigh said, you're never going to be able to either run or jump again.
Oh, no.
Well, he was not willing to hear this, so he started doing research.
Yeah.
He found a orthopedic surgeon at Duke, a young fella in his probably mid to upper 30s, who they took stem cells, sent them to Boston University, grew cartilage from those.
Mm-hmm.
They then did surgery, performed. One of his problems was that the head of his femur that went into his hip was unusually bony and rough.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it had worn away all the cartilage in his hip socket.
Ouch.
So he got to bone-on-bone pain. his pain was 24/7.
Yes.
Well, they basically moved off the head of that femur. They then performed a PAO, which rotated his hip socket 12 degrees in a certain direction so that his leg would present as it should toward the ground.
Wow.
They then implanted the cartilage stem cells. They grew, and he has since grown a new hip cartilage socket.
Yeah. This is the future.
He can now run 20 miles. And this doctor at Duke actually did a short documentary for the hospital about
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
He was told he was the second person in the world to have this done.
Yeah, this is
being in Italy.
This is the wave of the future. But you know what?
What?
I just did stem cell transplant myself.
Really?
And what are stem cells? They are pluripotent. That means there are cells that can turn into anything. So you have stem cells that can turn into skin.
Mm-hmm.
And these are stem cells. They're given a certain potion, I can say, of chemicals and proteins, and they turn into cartilage cells.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I knew this was going to work?
How?
10 years ago, one of my horses had the same thing.
Really?
And guess the vets didn't have to go through the FDA approval.
Right.
Right? The
right,
vets,
sure.
You know, and do whatever they want. And they were the first ones to demonstrate that this technique worked. They injected stem cells into my horse's hip,
right,
and it grew back, and the horse ran again. So this is fantastic.
This is how David found out.
Yeah.
He was doing research, and he found that this was being done for animals.
Yeah.
He thought,
it's right, now being done for humans.
Yeah. I'm sorry, John. I've got to wrap this up.
No,
but
no.
Thank
Can
you.
I say one thing
thank
real quick?
Thank you for calling. Yes.
Yeah. One thing real quick. So I had a lady who had a massive loss of skin, and it was from a MRSA infection.
All right.
Stem cells grew it back. I did it.
All right. This is Heart Health Radio.
Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio, Heart Health Radio, oh, 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 hearthealthradio.com, Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
This is Heart Health Radio and the Heart Health Radio Network. On the flagship station, FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTA. Dr. Weefall, what kind of day are you having?
Well, I'm a little better than I was in the beginning. I'm getting all sorts of texts.
Really?
Yeah, saying I'm sorry you're giving up your dogs.
Yeah.
And the one thing I didn't tell you is that, you know what the best antidote to, you know, having a dog out of your life?